Thanks, Sherry, in the F.511 Traffic Center.
Not sure.
It was a show called The Commish. I don't think with Michael Chiklis. I don't think it was on for a very long time, but it was a good show.
I remember Chiklis. He's in that movie now, The Senior.
Okay.
About a football player who's in his like his 50s, college football player who comes back to finish out his dream.
Oh, but as a player?
As a player.
Really?
As a player, yeah.
We have so much.
It's a true story.
Okay.
It's a true story.
Yep. We have so much to talk about.
We do.
Mike Davis is the commish. He's the commissioner of the New South Athletic Conference. First of all, for those who don't know, what is the New South Athletic Conference?
New South Athletic Conference is an association of really small colleges. Most people think, when you say that, they're thinking Division III schools. Most of our schools would be considered smaller than that. Almost all of our schools have fewer than 1,000 students, ranging from Virginia all the way down to Miami. So we have a pretty big footprint. I like to say we have the footprint of the ACC. We don't have the budget of the ACC, but that's who we are.
So how is it different? Is it the same as the ACC, but just on a smaller level?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question, Christine. In a way, it is. The whole philosophy of the NSAC when we began was to give student athletes at these smaller schools the same opportunities and experiences that students at Division I schools, like Florida and Florida State, Georgia, Alabama, whatever, the same experiences that they would have. Just because they're not at a big school doesn't mean they shouldn't have those opportunities to get recognition for their achievements both on the field and in the classroom. So that's what we try to do. Well, we came together for that reason beginning back in 2020, and we've also, you know, wanted to provide a level playing field, as it were, for these really small schools that had athletics, but perhaps were at a competitive disadvantage, lack of resources with somewhat larger schools.
So you said it's been around since 2020. Is it a byproduct of COVID?
It's funny. Ironically, it is. So what had happened was back in 2017, I was asked to be the athletic director at a very small school in North Carolina. And when I came in, we were members of nothing. You know, there was no conference. There was no national organizing body that we were a part of. Brand new school. But the president wanted to have athletics right up front, especially men's basketball. And the first thing that I asked was, okay, who are we going to play and what are we playing for? I said, there's got to be other schools like this one. And when I say very small, I'm talking about fewer than 50 students at that time. And so I started looking around and I said, there's got to be other schools that have fallen through the cracks that are looking for a conference home.
And I'm sure people who are listening are going, I didn't even know that there were schools that had fewer than 50 students.
There are colleges, you'd be surprised. Many of them are newer schools, particularly here in the state of Florida. We can get into that as we continue our discussion. But all over the country, really, there are these schools, some of whom have just started up in the last 2, 3, 4 years, others that have been around for more than 100 years. The term is micro college, so which is fitting. But so in 2017, that's what I began networking with other schools, other athletic departments, particularly in North Carolina. And we were starting to get a little traction, but it really wasn't coming together until COVID hit. And as many people will recall, during COVID, you know, athletics were being shut down across the board. We were having athletic departments, athletic conferences were going on hiatus. But we had some schools that said, hey, we've got some momentum going. We want to keep this going. We'll take whatever health precautions we need to do to keep playing. Can we join what you're doing? We hear what you're trying to do. Can we jump in? And so I had four schools come together, including my school, Blue Lights College. And we started in January of 21. We started with a men's basketball schedule, an abbreviated schedule. We had our first tournament in March of that year. It was well received. And that was the beginning.
And what sports do you cover? You mentioned basketball already.
Right.
So is it every sport, every college sport?
We have sports that meet the needs of our member schools. So if we can get four teams in a particular sport, we'll sponsor a championship for that. So last year in 24-25, we had three sports. This year, we had 10. So it's growing exponentially. Currently, men's and women's basketball, baseball, men's soccer, golf. We added football for the first time this year. Also, track and field and cross country, both men's and women's.
And volleyball as well.
Volleyball, we've struggled with volleyball. Women's sports at this level is really, really hard. Girls and guys have come into with a very different mindset. Every male college athlete is going pro. You know that, right?
Of course, they're all going
to the NFL. They're all going to the NBA.
Yes.
Girls are smarter than that, and they have different priorities. They have different goals. Athletics are not always a part of that. So it's harder to get that. We have had volleyball, to your question. We've had volleyball a couple of years, but it's not caught on just yet. Hopefully this coming year, maybe.
My guest is Commissioner Mike Davis with the New South Athletic Conference, and we'll continue our conversation with him on the other side of the commercial break. The theme song from the commission, Chase Bunker, has some very important knowledge for us about the commission.
Yes, some breaking news of the commission. Five seasons. Okay. Five seasons of the commission we're on. And right now you can also stream it, according to IMDb, you can stream it on Amazon Prime and Peacock. So if you want to go and check out that Michael Chiklis classic, I think we can say classic, it's near 100 episodes. You can do that so on Prime and Peacock.
I like the fact that it's the number of episodes, not the age of the show.
Yes. I mean, granted, like, hey, Firefly, great show. Do we consider it a classic? I don't know, because it only had one season. But
Easy now.
I'm sorry. Am I hitting a sore subject there, Scott, about the, Firefly?
Pick your words carefully. We have a selective audience, but the Firefly crew is a highly responsive group out there.
Oh, I know. I made an April Fool's joke once that season two's coming. They are still mad 10 years later.
Oh, Bring it on. Bring it on. Mike Davis is the commissioner of the New South Athletic Conference.
We've had six seasons.
Okay.
In the New South Conference. So
you've beaten.
So I'm a classic as well, but that's another story.
In so many ways. So we talked about the formation of the group. What schools in Florida, I know I'm putting you on the spot.
All right, no.
What schools in Florida are members?
So Lighthouse Christian College in Pensacola, Atlantis University in Miami, Urbay University, also in Miami. Millennia Atlantic, also in Miami. See a theme developing here. Two schools in Leesburg, Southeast Christian College and Beacon College. Those are our six in the state of Florida.
So there are some new rules and regulations governing college athletics. How does that play a part in what you guys do?
We follow the NCAA rules pretty much. I assume you're referring to NIL.
Yes, yeah, so I was going to get to NIL.
Interestingly, NIL doesn't filter down this far. Name, image, likeness. Except we have one school.
You can tell your broadcaster, because I was just going to say, what is NIL for those who don't know?
Well, NIL, thank you for asking. Players can get paid, and that's really what it comes down to. College players can earn money now. I have no problem with that. Actually, one of our schools, the Apprentice School, Newport News, Virginia, those guys have been getting paid for more than 100 years because those students are actually, as the name implies, they are apprentices to the Newport News shipyard. They're in class 2 days a week. They're building nuclear submarines 3 days a week. And the school is paid for, and they earn about $21 an hour to start.
Now, they are civilians. They are military.
They are civilians. That's
because a lot of people don't know that if you play football for one of the academies, you are not eligible for NIL. So, for example, a popular video game that makes use of college football players and their images and likenesses and uses their names pays those college football players a certain amount to use their name, image, and likeness.
That's correct.
If, however, you go to one of the military academies, you do not get paid. So if everybody thinks, I'm playing this particular game, and some of the money from that is going to those players, that does not happen.
That's correct. That is correct.
But the players in your conference are eligible for NIL. They're eligible, and every other college player throughout the country.
But at this level, this small of a level, they don't have enough exposure to really make NIL worth it for them, so we don't see that.
But is that one of the things that you guys can at least oversee, that if there are opportunities for someone, or perhaps you can highlight them as part of this conference?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We could do that. Yeah.
We'll continue our conversation with the Commissioner Mike Davis with the New South Athletic Conference. What you deal with is a lot, I would say, less complicated than international relations, but probably for those who are involved, probably just as important to some of the players not knowing.
I would think so. And thank goodness I don't have to deal with very much international relations, although it does come into play. Coming into play this summer, we're sending an all-star team to Brazil.
That's amazingly exciting.
It is very exciting. We did it last year, doing it again this year. Really looking forward to a great experience for the young people.
Do you do, as part of the New South Athletic Conference, do you do marketing on behalf of the students so that they would be poised to, you know, participate in a draft? You had said somebody was drafted, one of your players was.
We did have one player. And remember, at this level, I mean, you know, we're below Division I, II, III, you know. So most of these players don't have the talent, if you will, skill set to be on a Division I team. And that's where all of the pros come from, basically. But we did have one young man who was signed by a basketball team in Argentina this past year. So we're very excited about that. And this opportunity in Brazil exposes our players to those pro teams overseas, which are, you know, not quite at the same level. We've got at least one young man right now on a basketball team from Lighthouse who very likely will play overseas. Very, very talented young man.
So the New South Athletic Conference does expose them to other opportunities, and those opportunities may lead to other things down the road.
Absolutely. I like the saying that the NCAA has. 99% of, and we're not a part of the NCAA, but I
yeah,
will
we don't
agree.
Want to get a cease and desist. So.
I agree with what they say with this line, that 99% of our athletes are going to go pro in something other than sports. And that's true. And I tell my coaches and athletic directors constantly, you know, it's more like 100% of our players are going to go to pro in something other than sports. That means if you're not investing yourself in these young people to make them better people, better citizens, better husbands and wives, then you're missing the boat. That's what we should be doing. And I'm very happy to say the vast majority of those, and I'll venture to say all of the coaches in the New South, get that. They know why they're there. They're not going to get rich at this level. They're there to invest themselves into the lives of their student athletes. And I truly think that makes a difference. I know it does.
But and more, most importantly, they're doing it out of love for the game, for the students. How many people do we all know who, you know, played baseball as a child, you know, never thought they were going to go pro, but love the smell of the field, love the baseball game itself, love the way it makes you think, you know, but don't really have opportunities to play that. How many of those, especially young people, you know, don't have an opportunity to play college baseball on a level that they're perhaps not really competitive enough with at a big school? So at a small school, this is enhancing their college experience.
You bring up a really, really good point, Christine, that I think if people will take the opportunity to look at some of these smaller schools, and even not just in the New South, don't pass up an opportunity. If you have an opportunity to play at a Division II or Division III school, at an NAIA school, I know a lot of kids today are so laser focused on the idea of getting that D1 scholarship, getting that big NIL deal, that they're now saying, here we are in May, okay, and they are about to graduate high school. They're going to be going into college this fall. They have not been recruited. They're not getting any looks from the big schools. And they're still telling my coaches, you know, I'm just going to wait a little while. I'm here to tell you, if you haven't been recruited, if you haven't been signed and committed to a Division I school now or anywhere, you're not going to be. And so you need to look at those opportunities. If you're getting a call from one of our coaches or any coach, my words to you are go where you are wanted. Not, NIL is not for everybody. No, it's for very, very, very few. D1 is for very, very few athletes, but there are very many opportunities out there that you could take advantage of and enjoy 4 years in a college, enjoying the sport you love, and then take that with you. You've got that experience you can continue with for the rest of your life. You can continue to enjoy that as you get an education now to go into another field so you can provide for yourself and your family for the rest of your life.
Tough medicine, and that's great advice. Also, how many students go to Division I schools on a scholarship and then get injured right away?
How many students go to a Division I school on an athletic scholarship but never play pro? And that's the point. Again, 99% are going pro in something other than sports. So that I think a dose of reality is what is needed, not only by the parents here, but, I mean, not only by the students, but I'm talking to the parents, or what I like to refer to as the uncles, that are in these kids' ears saying, "No, you're going to the league, man. You're going to play in the NBA," and they're, you know, hey, I'm all about dreams. Chase that dream.
I was just going to say, you don't want to come across as a dream crusher, right?
I'm not. I'm living my dream right now by doing what I'm doing. I absolutely love the job that I'm doing and providing for these opportunities. But I'm here to tell you, maybe you need to adjust that dream just a little bit. Add a little dose of reality. You can still play at these smaller schools and have the time of your life, make relationships and friendships that you are going to carry with you the rest of your life. And you'll be able to look back and say, hey, man, that was great. I'm glad I had that opportunity. I'm glad somebody told me about this school. And, yeah, pro sports may not play a part in that. It doesn't for most people. But you can still have that fun and have fun while you get a degree.
Are there coaching opportunities and networking resources available for folks in NSAC?
Yes. You know, the best thing that I could tell you to do is, and most of the coaches in the NSAC are they're not full-time coaches. They're part-timers that love the game, as you alluded to earlier. They love the game. They love helping young people, but we as a group, the NSAC, and this is the thing that makes my job so much fun, is that we've got this spirit of cooperation among our coaches, among our administrators. We're a firm believer in a rising tide raises all ships, and we're helping each other. These coaches, our baseball tournament was this past weekend in Milton, just outside of Pensacola. All those coaches know each other. They're all friends. They stay in touch with each other throughout the year and consult each other. They go to clinics together. They're working together. So, yes, there are opportunities there to help out. And I can tell you one instance, not just for athletics, but for education as a whole. A lot of the schools, as I mentioned, they're newer schools. They've only been around maybe 2, 3, 4 years. And so they're working on getting their accreditation. One guy I can, and I'll mention him by name, Ricky Broxson, who's the athletic director at Lighthouse in Pensacola, has been down this road. They just achieved their accreditation this past October. And prior to that, he helped the grade school that's part of Lighthouse gain their accreditation. So he's been a part of the education game for a while. He bends over backwards to help these other schools in our conference and outside of our conference do what they need to do, hit those benchmarks that they need to become accredited. That's just the kind of cooperation that we have among our schools, because we figured out a long time ago we're better off together than we are apart.
In every aspect of life.
Absolutely.
How does NSAC get funded?
Our funding primarily, the vast majority of it comes from memberships, membership fees by our schools. I haven't figured out how to monetize this thing to put money in my pocket yet.
So are you a volunteer?
I was up until about 2 years ago, and one of my athletic directors on our board of directors said, "Mike, you need to get paid." And I said, "Well, okay, if the schools can afford it, limited resources." And he pushed it through so that I get a stipend every month now. So,
you're not getting rich off of this.
I'm not getting rich off of it monetarily. I'm getting rich off of it by the experiences that I gain through knowing these wonderful people at these schools that I would have never met otherwise. But to your point, we're funded by the membership dues of our member schools. We sell a few T-shirts here now and then, too. I sold a few of them at the baseball tournament this past weekend.
So if someone wants to buy a T-shirt or find out more about NSAC, where do they get information? And if, you know, someone is an administrator at a school, how do they get in touch with you guys?
Best way is through our website, newsouthconference.com. You can go to our website there. You can find my contact information on our homepage. Just go to information, click the information tab at newsouthconference.com. Also, if you'll look down the right-hand side of our page, you will see the NSAC store is there in case you do want to get one of those T-shirts or caps or towels or jackets or whatever. You can find one right there.
Commissioner Mike Davis, New South Athletic Conference. It has been my absolute pleasure to have you on the air this morning.
Christine, it is a joy to be here. It is such a pleasure to see you again, my friend. Thank you so much for the invitation.